السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا، والصلاة والسلام علی سیدن المصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وعلى آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا، اما بعد، فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی فی القرآن المجید: اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم: اولئک الذین انعم اللہ علیہم من النبیین والصدیقین والشہداء والصالحین وحسن اولئک رفیقہ، صدق اللہ العظیم. الحمدللہ، ود فضل کرم ان احسان اف اللہ تعالی، اللہ رب العزت has gathered us here in his house to make some mudhakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Allah Ta'ala reward all of you for taking out the time, enduring the expense, and coming out in search of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala bless us all with His qurb, bless us all with His ma'rifat, bless us all with His love, and the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each and every one of us, Allah Ta'ala is our beloved. Allah Ta'ala is our beloved. We love Allah Ta'ala. Each person, his degree of love will be different. But each and every believer loves Allah Ta'ala. And if you didn't have the love for Allah Ta'ala, then you wouldn't be sitting here. So many other things to do, so many places to go, family engagements, commitments, tiredness, so many things. Other dini activities also. But you have taken out the time to come because we want to get connected to Allah Ta'ala. No other maqsad, no other reason. We want to get connected to Allah Ta'ala. We want to make our islah. So, Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions in the Quran Sharif with regards to those people whom Allah Ta'ala has favored. So many a time we hear this bayan. Ulama-e Kiram explain صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. We are making dua in Surah Fatiha, in each rakat of every namaz. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Through Allah, guide us onto the straight path. Which is the straight path? صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. The path of those whom you have favored. And the opposite is also mentioned, that Ya Allah, we don't want to be on the path of those upon whom is your anger and those who are gone astray. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. So, who are these people that Allah Ta'ala has favored with regards to the مغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين? Ulama have given different explanations. One explanation is it is referring to the Jews and the Christians. Other explanation is it's referring to all people that have carried out such things which Allah Ta'ala is angry with them, and they have gone astray from the straight path. So that has been defined, and we don't want to be on that road. Now, who are these people whom Allah Ta'ala has favored? Because we want to be on that road. So which road is that? Who are these people? So Allah Rabbul Izzat in another place in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions that أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has favored the prophets, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Right? So the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, everybody is acquainted with who the Anbiya are, all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the door of prophethood, this is closed. The door of prophethood is closed. Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the seal of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. After the coming of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no other prophet to come. And prophethood is such a thing that a person cannot become a prophet by his efforts. Prophethood is by selection. Allah Ta'ala selects whom He wants to be from the galaxy of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. Allah Ta'ala made His selection. And the last Nabi to come to the world was our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After that, no other Nabi is going to come. If anybody entertains a false aqeedah that there will be another prophet after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then that person's iman is at stake. That person's iman is at stake. We can't believe that there's going to be other prophets still to come. Right? But with regards to the other categories, the shuhada, the salihin, the siddiqeen, these are still open. These are still open. Each one, only by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, but he has to make effort. By his effort and the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, a person can become from these categories. Right? So, Hazrat Shaki Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he gave some definition of these categories, that who are these people? Because we want to be like them. We want to follow their path. We want to follow in their footsteps. Right? We want to become like them. Right? So the Shaki Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that who is a shaheed? Who is a shaheed? One is, we'll say, a person who was martyred in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Right? He became shaheed, he was martyred. Right? But this martyrdom also, there are different types of shuhada. Now we can't go into a whole fiqh lesson, but there are certain people, they attain martyrdom, but that martyrdom is not recognized in the dunya. In other words, their burial, their kafan, everything will be normal, like a normal person. But in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, they will have sawab like that of a shaheed. A person who has got this desire in his heart, right, deep-hearted desire that I want to be a shaheed, right? And he passes away on his bed at home, Allah Ta'ala can elevate him to the ranks of the shuhada. Just on his niyat. On his niyat that he really wanted to become a shaheed, right? So Allah Ta'ala can raise him to the ranks of the shuhada. But in the dunya, we won't say that this person now we mustn't give him ghusl and all that, just bury him like that. No. Everything will carry on normal, like a normal person. And then we get those shuhada who pass away on the battlefield without getting any medical treatment, etc., right? Or even a person that is defending his family or his life or his property, and then he is fatally injured in that, passes away without getting any treatment to anything. Then these people are regarded as shuhada. In the dunya also we'll regard them as shuhada. And in the sight of Allah Ta'ala then, badarja ola, they will be regarded as shuhada, right? But who really is a shaheed? What a beautiful explanation Hazrat Shaki Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave. That the shaheed, who is a shaheed? So a shaheed is that person. His yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala reached such a level. His yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala reached such a level that he gave his life for Allah. The yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala is such a level it reached in him Right? They say he's so convinced that this is the truth. My Allah is my Allah. This deen is haq. The yaqeen comes so much that he says, you know what, I must give my life for this. And he gives his life like that. That is a true shaheed. Right? One is, there are many shuhada, many, many shuhada in the world, right? But which shaheed gave his life, because he wanted to establish the deen of Allah. He gave his life for that reason. When his people came, they invaded our country, and they bombed and whatever, and we too be running helter-skelter, and whatever, and then in that now you get bombed up and everything. Right? People will pass away. So they too, we will call them shuhada, and we will have hope that Allah Ta'ala raised them in the ranks of the shuhada. Right? But those who stood with Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? When everybody was pointing fingers at this deen, everybody thought, what are these people doing? There's no way that they can be successful. There's no way that this deen can be established and come alive. A small group of people, that too all the weaker people, few notable people, the rest all weak people, slaves, weak people like this. Where can this deen go anyway? And at that time, there's so much of yaqeen. Imagine in the Battle of Uhud, right? Battle of Uhud. There's all the confusion takes place, right? So the Sahaba also now, they don't know which way, some are running this way, that way. The Kuffar army, they say that this is an opportune moment now to get to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So they are closing in now. And there's just few people around Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes announcement. Who will repel these people from me? Ansari Sahabi stands up. The person who, his life was in peace. His life was in peace, he was living his life nicely, had his orchard, everything was going on well. Right? Until now, he took up the cudgels of this deen. Now when he took up the responsibility now when they brought Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam away. You see, we think that no, now when we turn to deen, so now every day when I read tahajjud namaz and I move my musalla, I must find gold. Because I turn to Allah Pak now, so everything must go well for me. Why now I can't get married now? Why I'm not getting the right bride for me now? And why I can't get money, and why I'm getting sick, and why things are not working out for me? I'm reading my namaz, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Sahaba didn't think like that. That's such yaqeen, that yaqeen reached such a level. That, Ya Allah, whatever we do, we come here. That's why, you know, there is nobody that has marifat like Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say, if you want to know about Allah Ta'ala, ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to know about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask Allah Ta'ala. Who could know? Nobody can know Allah Ta'ala more than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no other person. Right? So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what yaqeen he must have had. Right? How much he must have wanted to sacrifice for Allah Ta'ala. That's why he's saying that I wish I could be martyred, given life again, martyred again. Why? Teaching us that, see, my fellow ummati, if you give your whole life also, woe be come here. That too is too little. It's too little. You give your whole life. You give couple lives. That too is too little. So that is a shaheed. A person, he went for to establish Allah's deen. He got so much of yaqeen. And he goes with his wealth, he goes, you know, in Jamaat circle, say, Jaan, Mal, he goes with everything, and he returns with nothing. That is a shaheed. So this door of being a martyr, this is still open. This is still open. And sometimes we think, you know, how come so many people passing away, and you know, in this country, that country, where's Allah's madad, where's Allah's help? Right? Allah Ta'ala has left this door of martyrdom open. It will stay open till Qiyamah. If people are not going to get martyred, then an ishkal will come. That where is the portion of martyrs? Because Allah Ta'ala says that He will take from them their martyrs. And that means for every era. In the Quran comes, Allah Ta'ala says that He will take that percentage of martyrs will be taken in every era. So ishkal would have come, that where's the martyrs now? So people will pass away, people will give their lives. So that is a shaheed. Then we come to the salihin. Salihin, what we call pious people. Salihin, Allah make us from amongst them. So Hazrat Shah Ki Mukhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that a salih, the person who is salih, you know, he is a person whom his temperament has become such that he is Pabandeshariat. He's Pabandeshariat, meaning he is steadfast on the Shariat. He is Pabandesunnat. He is steadfast on the Sunnat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And his fikr always is, what is going to make my Allah Ta'ala happy? That's his fikr. His worry and concern all the time is, what is going to make my Allah Ta'ala happy? This is what he occupies his mind with. His mind is not occupied with other things. His mind is occupied with what is going to make my Allah Ta'ala happy. So in every situation of his, he will choose that which is going to make Allah Ta'ala happy. So this is a salih. So Allah Pak make us from amongst the salihin. And then we get the siddiqin. Siddiqin. The siddiqin, this is a very high darja. The darja of a siddiq is higher than that of a shaheed. The darja of a siddiq is higher than that of a shaheed. But yes, you can get a shaheed who's also a siddiq. Then that's nurun ala nur. A person is a siddiq and he become a shaheed also. Now that's something else now. Right? But a siddiq, his darja is very high. The first siddiq of the ummah is Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a point of it. To say that on you is a siddiq. On you is a nabi, a siddiq, and two martyrs. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the mountain, with Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiyallahu an, Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu an, Sayyiduna Uthman radiyallahu an, ghaliban. So the mountain started to shake. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tapped the mountain. Said, O Uhud, be still. So on you is a Nabi, is a Siddiq, and is two shaheeds, two shuhada. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that distinction, right? When explained what few more things with regards to a siddiq. But what is the definition of this of a siddiq? Right? So the Shaki Maktar Sahib rahmatullahi mentions الذي لا يخالف قوله حاله. He is that person whom his statements, his speech, his words do not contradict his condition. His statement, his speech doesn't contradict his inner condition, his hal. See, with regards to Khwaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Ali, so as Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that Khwaja Sahib ke kalam mein hal hi hal hai, qal ki kuch bu bhi nahi. He said, in the kalam of Hazrat Khwaja Sahib, it is actually the condition of his heart. It's not just words. There's nothing about words. It's his hal, his real hal from his heart, what he's talking. That's really what it is. So, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that when I pass away and I see Jannat, you see Jannat, see the things of the Akhirat, my Iman in those things will not increase compared to what it is now. In other words, through the barakat of the Sohbat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Iman has been developed so much that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us something, when we're reading an ayat of the Quran Sharif, it's for real for us. It's not that now we're reading there, when we see it, it's going to be a different thing. No. When we're reading it, it's for real. This is for real. So on the day of Qiyamah, nothing more is going to increase there. Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Purpuri Rahmatullah Ali, the Sheikh of Hazrat Shah Ki Maktar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his Sheikh was Hazrat Morana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Shah Abdul Ghani Purpuri Rahmatullah Ali Sheikh was Mujaddid Millat Hazrat Morana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So he wrote to his Sheikh, who Shah Abdul Ghani Purpuri Rahmatullah Ali. He wrote to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. He said that, Hazrat, my condition has become such that when I'm walking here in the dunya, it is as if I'm walking in the akhirat. In other words, the akhirat is so real for me, right, that when I'm walking here in the dunya, it is as if I'm walking in the akhirat. When Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali read this khat of Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Purpuri Rahmatullah Ali, so he said, Ye is zamana ka siddiq hai. He said that Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Purpuri Rahmatullah Ali is the siddiq of this era. Right? Now we need to check in ourselves now. Right? Our words and our condition. What is our condition? What is our words? What we saying? Right? And what's our inner condition? Allah maaf kare. Allah maaf kare. Allah forgive us. So this is the first definition of a Siddiq. Continuing, Hazrat Shah Ki Maktar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, الَّذِي لَا يَتَغَيَّرُ بَاطِنُهُ مِنْ ظَاهِرِهِ. A Siddiq is that person whom his outward situation doesn't change his inner condition. His outward situation doesn't change his inner condition. See, we fail. I'll give you an example happened to me today now, right? I lied down before Asr. I said, when I wake up now, wake up, get ready and come before Asr Sana. Wake up, there's no water. No water to make istinja, no water to make wuzu. What happened? The plumber decided that today he wants to do one connection, so he closed the water, but he's connecting the pipes. So, wussa. Angry. What is the mehmana going to come now? You sort of cut the water? I mean, didn't he have the decency to at least find out first if he can do that? Or give some warning that, look, by I'm doing this, we can put up some buckets, make some tizab. He cut the thing. Anger. Firstly, anger. Phoned him up. Said, what's going on? Said, no, I'm just putting the valves. Said, how long are you going to be? Said, another 20 more minutes. I said, wait, we got people coming here. We need to read namaz. How are we going to make wuzu? How are we going to make istinja? But you see, the batin gets affected. A siddiq, he won't get affected. He will say, this is from Allah Ta'ala. Isi mein khair hai. What do you say? Isi mein khair hai. There's goodness in this. Allah Ta'ala knew this is going to happen. Right? So now, my job is, I need to make wuzu, I need to make istinja. So let me see what I must do now to make my wuzu and my istinja and get ready and go for namaz. Why am I getting upset with the plumber here now? See? Now, how many things like this happens to us? Right? This, I'm just giving you a real life situation. Right? You're driving, you're going, next thing, roadblock. Now what happens to our batin? Did the zahir change our batin now? The zahir changed our batin. Right? Hazrat Chaki Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentions that what is meant that the zahir will not affect his batin. He says you can bring all the beauties from London, from Switzerland, from wherever, and put in front of him. He won't even look there. The zahir doesn't affect his batin. His batin is connected with Allah Ta'ala. He's not interested in all this. I remember once, there was one Arab brother in Madina Munawara, who had made taluk with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. And he was a very wealthy person. So once when Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was in Madina Munawara, so he came to visit Hazrat. And he was now talking about his businesses and his properties and his factories and whatever. So he's telling Hazrat about this and that investment and this and whatever. So Hazrat heard him out. But every time Hazrat was looking at his heart. So this person eventually asked Hazrat, he said, you okay? But Hazrat was a heart patient too. Hazrat was looking at the heart all the time. You okay? So Hazrat told him, no, alhamdulillah, I'm well. He said, no, I'm just checking my heart. Each time you're talking about all these things, I'm checking if it's affecting me. And alhamdulillah, it didn't affect me. So a person who has got these qualities of a siddiq, outward conditions, they don't affect him. No matter what it may be. Right? A person can lose his job tomorrow. They don't affect him. Because Allah is in charge. As long as it's not his carelessness. You can't be your own carelessness and then problems come on you and then you say, no, Allah, taqdeer, no. You must follow all the right procedure. And then you trust in Allah Ta'ala. So the zahir conditions doesn't affect this person's batin. Jis jaha mein rahu, jis fiza mein rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. No matter where I am, whether I'm overseas, whether I'm at home, not that now when I'm at home I'm different, when I'm gone on holiday then I'm different. No. Everywhere I must be the same. The same laws apply to me at home, same laws apply to me out of the home. Everything is the same. My batin mustn't change. So this is the second thing that Hazrat Shaki Maktar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned. The third thing he mentioned, Alladhi Yabdulul Kawneen Fi Rila Mahbubihi. He is that person whom he will spend both worlds. Kawneen refer to the dunya and the akhirat. So he will sacrifice both worlds for the happiness of his beloved. So I was mentioning in the beginning that each one of us, Allah Ta'ala is our beloved. Right? Allah is our beloved. Each and every one of us, we have got some love for Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is our beloved. You know, we are deficient in our love, but Allah is our beloved. But am I Allah's beloved? See? Allah is my beloved. But I need to become such that I am beloved to Allah Ta'ala. I must become beloved to Allah Ta'ala. So the Siddiq, he will sacrifice both worlds for the happiness of his beloved. Everything of his, he's prepared to sacrifice it for the happiness of his beloved. So Hazrat Shaki Maktar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentions, he said that some Arab people came to visit him, and he gave them this definition. He gave them this definition of a Siddiq. So you see, some people are zaheen, you know, they're very intelligent and they listen to things. So the one person from that group of Arab brothers that came to him, he said that with regards to this dunya, whatever I have, I can sacrifice it for Allah Ta'ala. In other words, it's possible, right? It's possible for a person, whatever he got in the dunya, he sacrifices it for Allah Ta'ala. But how am I going to sacrifice the akhirat? That's not in my hands. Whatever Allah has given me in this world now, I can sacrifice it for Allah Ta'ala. Now, sacrificing it for Allah Ta'ala doesn't mean that you must take everything and give it away to. So you take everything and give it away, next day the wife and children will throw you away too. You have no food, no clothes, nothing. No. Sacrificing it for Allah Ta'ala means I will only earn it in a way that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Allah has allowed me to earn in that way, I will earn. I will spend it in a manner that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. If I am keeping it, I will keep it because I want to use it for something in the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Everything is about the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Not to say, but just take everything now and go and give it away. Now take your car and give it away. Take your clothes, give it away. Give the house away, everything. No. Our iman is not on that level. And even if you think your iman is on that level, I know mine is not on that level, but if you think yours is on that level, then you must remember that you got a wife and children also. So until their iman is also not on that level, you don't go and do all of that. So this Arab person, he asked, he said that I can spend the dunya, whatever Allah has given me in the world, I can spend that, I can sacrifice it for Allah Ta'ala. But what am I going to do about the akhirat? Because you're saying konain, both worlds. So the Shaki Makhtar Sam Rahmatullahi, what a beautiful explanation he gave. He said that, see, when you carry out any nek amal, any good deed you're carrying out, you must carry it out for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Jannat is secondary. All your good deeds, right? You are doing it primarily for Allah Ta'ala. Right? So then somebody can ask, but then why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to ask for Jannat? Right? Because without going to Jannat, I can't see my Allah Ta'ala. So I want to go to Jannat also, because only there I'll be able to see my Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, I won't be able to even see my Allah Ta'ala. How I'm going to see Allah Ta'ala? How I'm going to see Huzur-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How I'm going to spend time with Sahaba Nonum? I have to go to Jannat for all that. So primarily must be for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Everything I'm doing good is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Secondary is Jannat. And every time I stay away from a guna, I'm fighting my nafs and I'm staying away from a sin, then primarily I'm staying away from that sin because of the anger of Allah Ta'ala. I want to protect myself from the anger of Allah Ta'ala. Secondarily, I'm protecting myself from Jahannam. And the dalil for that is the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaaka wal jannah. Oh Allah, I ask of you your happiness, your good pleasure. Second thing you're asking for, and Jannat. Primary is Allah's razamandi. And when we're seeking protection also, oh Allah, I seek protection in you from your anger, then from the fire of Jahannam. So Hazrat Hakim Sahab, Hakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he said, if you have this niyat, then you have made qurban of the akhirat also for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You have made qurban of the akhirat also for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So I was mentioning to you that the darja of a siddiq is higher than that of a shaheed. Q. Why? A shaheed, he gives his life in trying to establish the deen of Allah. There is a shaheed. He's giving his life now because he wants to establish the shariat, he wants to establish the deen of Allah. And if this is the price we have to pay, then it's well worth it. I'm paying too little. So he gives his life. And a siddiq, he is doing the work of Allah, the work of the Nabi of Allah. He is carrying on with that work, which is the real objective, to continue with that work. We're not downplaying jihad in any way. Jihad is very high. Jihad is very high. In fact, the reason we find ourselves in this problem today is because we have left jihad. This is why we find ourselves in the problem today. You know? See, Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for everything that happened in the dunya, We got an example in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for jihad. He came back. He's removing his armor. Jibreel alayhi salam comes. Say, oh, you're taking out your armor. War is over. So, no, we haven't taken out our armor. That Jewish tribe there, they made treachery. See? While the jihad was on, they made treachery. So they broke their pact with you. We're proceeding there now. So, same time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his armor on again and they proceeded there. Right? Today's time, the mujahideen, they are crying out to the leader that, bhai, just give the green light. There's treachery taking place here. Right? Just give the green light. We are ready. We are ready to give our life and get rid of the treachery. But the green light not coming. See. Today, we think that we will secure ourselves by sorting our dunya out. Right? Must always keep this ayat-e kareema in mind. Whenever your dunya comes in the way of your deen. Right? You see, when the Ansar, now so many years they're taking part in jihad, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madina Munawwara, so obviously their businesses are neglected, their homes are neglected, everything is neglected, families are neglected, because so much they're going in jihad, spending so much in the path of Allah, cause of Allah. So after, you know, Khaybar, etc., so they thought to themselves that, see now I think we need to take a break a little bit. And we need to see to our businesses, see to our orchards, see to everything. So Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat al-Karima. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ Don't extend your hands to destruction. We think that destruction is that now the businesses will fall, everything will fall if we're going to just carry on. Allah is saying no. You carry on. If you stop that, you'll destroy. You continue, everything will be fine. See? So jihad is a very high thing. A person who is a siddiq and also he is a mujahid. Nurun ala nur. Person is a siddiq and he becomes a shaheed. Nurun ala nur. There is one incident to understand the status of a siddiq. How important it is, because the siddiq has to carry on the mission. Carry on the work. So in the battle of Uhud, when now, you know, 70 Muslims became shaheed, Sahaba Nonun became shaheed. You know, it's an ajeeb thing. I remember our Hazrat Rahmatullahi, when he used to go to Uhud, then he would sit and sometime over and over he would recite this poetry. Uhud ke shaheedon ke khune wafa se sabak le ke paband dastoor hunga. That we take a lesson from the blood of the martyrs of Uhud. That we will remain paband now on this deen, you know. There's an ajeeb thing as Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi mentioned. He said that Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions in the Quran Sharif, if the oceans were ink, right? If the trees were pens, then too you won't be able to enumerate the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Right? A shaheed, his maqam is so high because he writes the greatness of Allah Ta'ala with his blood, not with ink and pen. The greatness of Allah Ta'ala is recorded with his blood, not with ink and pen. The blood of the shuhada can record the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, not the ink of pens and the ocean. The ocean can become ink and the trees can become pens. The shuhada, they have a very high status. They give their whole life for Allah Ta'ala. So I was mentioning to you about this incident. That when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, the love he had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no? When he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam injured, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bleeding. When he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this condition, he unsheathed his sword, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. And he announced to the Quraysh in the battlefield, he said, "Today I will kill all of you." He saw what happened to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Today I will kill all of you, or I will be no more." This love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way it affected him when he saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam like that. You know, these people who did this to my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "I will kill you all today. Today I will kill you all, or I will be no more." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is listening. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, "Shim Saifak." So Abu Bakr, put your sword away. Put your sword back in its sheath. Do not grieve me with your separation. See, he had a greater mission. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he had a greater mission. He had to continue with the work of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "You put your sword away. Don't grieve us with your separation." So a Siddiq is a very high stage. But a Siddiq is not masoom. Only Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are masoom. Only Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are masoom. The Siddiqeen, they have a very high status. But they are not sinless. They are not masoom. A Siddiq also can err. A Siddiq also can make a mistake. He can commit a guna also. But a Siddiq, if he has to make a small mistake also, he makes a small mistake, his condition is such that he will cry so much to Allah Ta'ala, asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, that even the malaika will feel him pity. You know, you take Ummul Mu'mineen, Ma'aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, her nephew, this statement, I'm just going to digress a little bit, because the statement, it gave me so much of food for thought, right? Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, he goes to his mother, Hazrat Asma radiallahu anha, the sister of Ummul Mu'mineen, Ma'aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He says to her, his mother is very old now, He says to her that, "Mother, the people that were standing with me against Hajjaj now and all this, right? The people who were standing with me, most of them have deserted me. For my friends, those who were standing with me, they have deserted. And my enemies, they are asking me to enter into a peace treaty with them. So what must I do?" He's asking his mother's mashwara. His mother was no ordinary person. He's asking his mother's mashwara. A normal mother, she is worried about the jaan of her jaan. She's worried about the life of her son, right? But listen to the jawab of Hazrat Asma radiallahu anha. She says to her son, he says, "If you are fighting to establish the kalam of Allah, in other words, you're establishing the shariat, you're establishing deen, then you continue. If people have deserted you, they have left you, whatever, no problem, you continue. But if you're fighting for any other reason, then it doesn't matter whether you're dead or alive." Imagine. So coming back here to this incident, Ma'isha radiallahu anha, she was very, very generous. So her nephew, same Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anha, he mentions some words like he's going to restrict her from her spending. So Ma'isha radiallahu anha, when that news reached her, she took an oath. She said, "I'll never speak to him again. He wants to stop me from spending in Allah's cause. I'll never speak to him again." Now, you know how difficult this was on him. He's his khala now. She's not talking to him. And who she is, Ummul Mu'mini. This is so hard for him. So eventually he goes to two sahaba. He says, "You know what? You'll have to get me into the house. I can't go and ask to enter. She won't allow me. She's not going to talk to me. You'll have to get me into the house." So they go there. They made a... You see, friends, true friends. Today's time, friends, they make a break for their friend to do evil. They connive to see how we can do evil. These were true friends, right? So they went to the home of Ma'isha radiallahu anha, and this was a normal thing, to go to her home to find out some masla, find out something. Now obviously there was a parda there, she used to be behind the parda. So they came and they said, "You know, we want to ask something, can we come in?" So she said, "Yeah, you can enter." So they asked, "Can all of us come in?" She said, "Yeah, no, all of you are coming." She doesn't know that her nephew Abdullah bin Zubair now is there with them. So they went inside. So when they went inside, he went behind the curtain. Because his auntie, they can't go behind, they have to make parda. He went behind the curtain and he caught her. And he's pleading with her that, "You must talk to me." They are also from this side now, they're reminding her of all the ahadis and you can't break family ties. And she is saying, "But I took a vow." Eventually, she broke the vow. And she started speaking to him. Now obviously that was a better thing to do, right? So she just had to give the kafara for breaking the vow. But throughout her life, she used to carry on freeing slaves. Over and over, paying that kafara so many times over. And every time she used to cry, "My vow, I broke a vow. What a big thing, I broke a vow." She's paying the kafara. But she's crying. This is a Siddiqa. See? Siddiqa. That something that she finished compensate for it too. But it still eats the person up. But we mustn't allow this to happen to us. Because Shaitan sometimes, what he does, he pulls you down with this. They had a balance. They knew how to do things. You know. Once we make tawbah, forget about the guna. We did a wrong, we made tawbah. We made tawbah, forget about this. You must have yaqeen that Allah has forgiven me. Don't, you see, when they remembered it with a dard. When we will remember it, Shaitan will make us remember to put us in a depression. So we mustn't remember gunas. Allah Ta'ala put us in the world to remember Him, not to remember sins. But I'm just explaining with the definition that a Siddiq is not masoom. A Siddiq can err, can make a mistake, can commit a guna. But if they commit a small guna also, they will cry so much, they will cry so much that even the malaika will feel them sorry. That this person is repenting so much he's repenting. And you find this in the kitabs. We mustn't do all these things. But certain people, if they use that limb to go towards the wrong, they cut that limb off. But we mustn't do all that. That's there in the kitabs just to give us inspiration. They were different, they have different distinct, different maqam. Every person is on their level. So what I'm saying all this is, see, this maqam of being a shaheed, of becoming from the saliheen, of becoming from the siddiqeen, these doors are all open. Anyone, each and every one can become. Each and every one can become. In the dunyavi circles, so what's your qualification? You're just a normal GP, or you're a specialist, or you got PhD, or what you got now, you know? Where are you? So in our relationship with Allah Ta'ala, where are we? Where are we? Where are we? Are we aspiring for these things? That I must become from amongst the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Saliheen. I must be from those groups. This must be our fikr. We can't just be just going through life, just worried about eating, what I'm wearing, how I'm living. That even animals are worried about. Animals too, they got that fikr, you know. You see the birds now. Already the strong birds are back. The nests already now, the top branches all are taken. Now the other ones coming, so they have to come lower down the tree. They all got that fikr. Every year you see this thing. They come, they need their food, they need their house, sort the house out, and then find a mate, lay some eggs, get more birds. That's their life. Allah Ta'ala has created us for a greater purpose. This must be our fikr. My relationship with Allah Ta'ala, where am I? And we must never ever make a claim that no, I think now I reach the ranks of the Saliheen. I think now, I got such a niyat to be a shaheed that I think I'm recorded amongst the shuhada. I was reading one kitab of Hazrat Sarauddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali. Say one time, from his waist down, His whole legs, thighs, everything was full of boils. And he's in excruciating pain. You know boils, how they pain. Fever, full boils. So, Ibn Shihab, who used to always be with him, he told him, you know what, now you rather rest. He said, no, you put me on my horse. Put me on my horse. So how are you going to manage? He said, when I'm on my horse, I don't feel no pain. That time I don't feel no pain. Put me on my horse, I don't feel no pain. After that I feel pain. But when I'm on the horse, I don't feel pain. What must have been his connection with Allah Ta'ala? When Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali, when he came to Aqsa after he had liberated Aqsa, so he established one madrasa for those who are following the Shafi'i madhab. And he established a khanqa. That time there was no work of tabligh as we know it. Work of tabligh, what we know, the figure of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, this kind of work in this shakal was not there at that time. So he established a khanqa. And he's written in the kitab, he said this khanqa used to produce the scholars. The khanqa used to produce the ministers. The khanqa used to produce the mujahideen. So the person is building his iman, right? Building his iman, he's sorting out his akhlaq, everything. Ikhlas is coming into him, all that sifati ihsan and everything. So that khanqa used to, now in today's times we have the work of tabligh, we have our madaris. So this is what it's supposed to be generating. The people that, now a person is in jamaat so long, so now he's supposed to come with this sifat now, where he can be a true leader. A person in the khanqa is there, he must come out with this sifat. A person from the madrasa is studying, is learning about Quran Sharif, Ali Sharif, everything. After that he must come out as a leader. So what we finding? I mean jamaat also, I mean khanqa also, I mean molisab also, madrasa also. And the family is having one get together, sab kuch andar, maskal andar, and I'm also there. So if I don't have the himmat to tell my own family that see this thing here is being done khilaf shariat, we can't do it like this, you have to do it according to shariat. Right? I don't have the himmat to do that. And if they don't want to listen to me, and I don't have the himmat to stay away from there, then establishing the shariat in the country, you are dur ki baat. I couldn't establish it. I can't take up the courage to establish the shariat in one family function. Then how am I going to do it in bigger things? So all this dini work we are doing is for what? For the deen to come alive. So what the deen, ways to come alive? That means, deen come alive, that means I must be present in the majlis. That means my deen is alive. I must be present overnight program, that means my deen is alive. No, that is the means to the end. Now when I go home now, what am I, but hikmat ke saath, pyar ke saath, muhabbat ke saath, but am I bringing about the changes? The changes coming around. Now if I'm changing the environment, I'm changing things in myself first, in my family, in my home, in my business, in my community. So now that effect is taking place. Now imagine if every worker, every person who's in tabligh, every person who's in the darul ulum, every person who's in the khanqa has to start doing this. Won't we have one whole community following Shariat? Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Inshallah, azan will go now. Isha Jamaat will be at 1:30. After namaz, we can read our Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Mulk. And then we can proceed for supper. And 9:00, inshallah, we'll continue. Supper, we have like an hour. By the time you read your surahs and all that, so about 8:00, we'll go for supper. 8 to 9 would be, then get farigh, and then 9:00, we'll continue with the program, inshallah. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله وبحمده نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.